You probably noticed that perhaps to your dismay, we did not read the Christmas story from Luke 2 again this morning as we did last night. The lectionary reading for the Christmas day is that magnificent, that theologically rich prologue from the Gospel of John. But there's a sense in which we don't have to read the story again because our imagination takes over and we see it in our mind's eye. Mary and Joseph, exhausted after a long journey. We can smell the stable, that pungent mixture of dung and hay. We can hear the animals bleat and cackle and moo. We picture a woman in the sweet distress of childbirth, her heaving sighs, her groans of pain. We see the little baby, all red and wrinkled and olive skin with thick, curly black hair. We watch him at his mother's breast, sucking hungrily those first rich drops. We see his eyelids flutter and close, and the breast slips away, and he sleeps. We see them laying him carefully in a feeding trough. We see the shepherds peeking in by firelight, rough men wrinkled by sun and wind, a little smelly, eyes filled with awe and wonder. We'd love that story anyway, but we especially love it because, as John tells us, it's the story of the Word that created all, made flesh, of God taking up residence in a barn, being cradled in human hands. It's the story of infinite, powerful, vulnerable love. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell." One who truly loves must be willing to accept love's vulnerability. We've all had those kinds of experiences. You know, you confess your faults, your sins to someone. You were miserable, but at least your faults were known only to you. Now someone else knows. It's a great relief, but it makes you very vulnerable. You shed some tears that are quickly wiped away a few seconds too late. Another person notices. He knows you're hurt. You've exposed your wounded heart. Or perhaps you remember the first time that someone said, "I love you." And at that moment, your poise is shattered. Your defenses are down. You are utterly vulnerable. Romantic love is dazzling in its wild desire and deep vulnerability, but let me tell you something, parental love wins the prize. Mothers, I think, feel this especially. It begins in pregnancy when another person takes over your body, hoarding, demanding its nutrients, making a home for itself where none existed before. And then the child signals it is time to be born. Suddenly, there she is, this bloody, hunched, screaming, beautiful baby. You ache with love that you'd never, ever felt before. This child owns you. You don't own her. Your lives are forever meshed, tied together, locked. As a young mother in a congregation once told me, looking at her little boy, I never knew I could love anyone so much. Yes, love makes us vulnerable. Here's the astounding thing. The same is true for God. It's especially this parental love that lets us see something of the heart of God. Like all love, God's love involves risk, and it makes God vulnerable in a peculiar way. God is, of course, great. God is almighty. God is holy. God is utterly beyond us. God in himself is the one person in all the universe who is by nature utterly untouchable, utterly self-sufficient. God needs nothing. He's insulated, invulnerable in heavenly glory. But God is love. And that means that even God's love makes him vulnerable. We see it already in the pages of the Old Testament. God makes a covenant with his people. He ties himself with bonds of love to Israel. I will be your God, he says, and you will be my people. Time after time, they turn their backs. They spurn him. The prophets portray Israel as God's child who turns away, who treats Yahweh with contempt, following after other gods. The prophets don't hesitate to describe God's having that peculiar mixture of hurt and anger that every anxious parent knows. We see it in the prophet Hosea, who pictures in a startling way God's vulnerable love. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. Paul says that in our sin and pride, we, what? Grieve the Holy Spirit. That's vulnerable love. Frederica Matthews Green once told the painful story of a friend of hers who was struggling with a rebellious teenage child, and she relates it then to God's parental love. God longs over us as over a lost and contemptuous child, a child at the edge of gaping danger, ignorant, sulky, rude. We spurn, laugh, ignore him, pinch each other, boast, I don't know him, and slam the door. He waits. We ridicule him, trivialize his gifts, preen and bicker. He waits. That helps us to understand something of what happened at Bethlehem. God, our divine parent, with daring and dangerous abandon, bared his heart at Bethlehem. He does not wish to be God without us, and so he becomes God with us. He comes down from the reaches of eternity to become an infant. In that infant born of poor people in a stable, God comes to earth and says, I love you. Can't you see how I love you? Look upon the baby Jesus, Luther once wrote. Divinity may terrify us. Inexpressible majesty will crush us. That is why Christ took on our humanity, that he should not terrify us, but rather that with love and favor he should console and confirm. And once it's done, it's done. God cannot, God will not go back to heaven at the end of the day's work and abandon everything. He has chosen in love to share the hurt of fallen humanity. He joined the human race, never, never to leave it again. We seldom feel more vulnerable than when we're naked. Remember that story at the dawn of time, Adam and Eve in the garden, how they hid from God. Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Mary Ellen Ashcroft points out that the Renaissance artists often portrayed the baby Jesus at Bethlehem not wrapped in swaddling clothes, but sitting or lying naked in his mother's arms. To get ready for Christmas, she said, God undressed. God stripped off his divine finery and appeared, how embarrassing, naked on the day he was born. God rips off medals of rank, puts aside titles, honors, and talents, and appears in his birthday suit. As Charles Wesley has us sing every Christmas, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. And the flesh of the baby is the flesh of the man. The naked baby must be flesh so that God can be stripped again and hung on a cross for all to see. In that very un-Christmassy passage in Philippians, we read that Paul takes this picture of vulnerable love a step further. He says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Let the same mind be in you. The message of Christmas, you see, is not just that God's about God's vulnerable love for us, it's about ours. Discipleship, as we all know, is following Jesus, right? And that means it begins in a stable with a vulnerable baby and proceeds to a cross. It's the path of vulnerable love. That's the path of discipleship. For me, vulnerability is a tough calling. I had some experiences as a child that made me feel very vulnerable. And something inside me said, that's not going to happen again. In the process that I didn't recognize for years, I gradually built up walls of protection, barriers of invulnerability. It's not hard to do. You don't let people know how you really feel. You hide behind a wall of fierce independence. You limit the claims that others, people may have upon you, and you make sure you don't identify too much with somebody else's plight. Above all, you don't let anybody see your weakness, your pain, your vulnerability. Over the years, I gradually learned that becoming the disciple of Christ meant more than being a good person and preaching the gospel. It meant giving myself to others. And that was a painful lesson. It still is. It exposes the vulnerability that I had so fiercely walled off and protected. Just listen to how Paul describes this vulnerable love. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Love is giving yourself. That makes us vulnerable. We're going through a difficult time as a congregation. There's a lot of change, a lot of uncertainty, and that makes us feel vulnerable. The temptation is to pull into ourselves, to let fear overcome trust. We tend to withdraw rather than draw closer because we're afraid that we might lose something. Jesus was born in a stable, and that man was forsaken on the cross, and he invites us to face our fearful vulnerability as individuals and as a congregation. To love is to be vulnerable. It's self-giving in a situation that cries out for us to be self-preserving. It's trust in a time that tempts us to doubt others. It's reaching out in a time that wants us to draw back. It's openness in a period that invites us to close ourselves and our feelings off from other people. It's taking the risk of caring when our guts cry out for the safety of self-sufficiency. It's emotional honesty when our hearts tell us it's just too risky. It's listening to each other when we most want to have our own way. The baby that was laid in a manger was also nailed to a cross. The God who settled himself in Mary's lap placed himself in the hands of Pontius Pilate. The God who humbled himself to become an infant was also, as Lucy Shaw puts it, nailed to my poor planet. John says he was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own and his own people did not accept him. God laid bare his heart at Bethlehem. I love you. I put myself in your hands. There is no other God than this naked baby birthed on a cold night. There is nothing hidden in God's heart that you cannot see on that baby's face. He comes to us this Christmas day in the bread and the wine. In communion with our Lord, we eat and drink. What? We eat and drink vulnerable love. This is my body given for you. My blood shed for you. And then we hear the call. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Vulnerable love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.